two tonally different episodes, you know?
Yeah.
That first one was all laughs, and that second one was
four.
Something.
It was something.
I witnessed murder several times.
And welcome to the Liquid Courage podcast.
That's Taylor.
That's me.
I'm Sheldon.
That's Sheldon.
And hello. Tim's over there in the corner.
Tim's over there in the corner. Trying to get his Swedish vinegar.
No, instead, and I wanted to surprise you guys.
Got you all Swedish vinegar.
Look under your chairs. Now, in fact, do look under your chairs, because you'll see what is in my hand right now. You'll see a Stillhouse, America's Finest, paint thinner bottle with whiskey in it.
Listen. No.
Stillhouse, America's, which one did you get?
This is the cherry whiskey.
Oh, so you got cough syrup.
It smells it smells good, though. I have not tasted it. I wanted to taste it on stream because I wanted to live the life that you were living, Taylor.
Yeah, no. I finished that bottle, by the way.
You didn't need to live that life. Oh, this is moonshine. Nobody did.
Oh, it's clear. It's clear.
It's
whiskey.
In a paint thinner, Tim. Tim?
It's in a paint thinner, Tim.
You weren't wrong, either things that you said.
It is in a
tin
paint
thinner. It's in a paint thinner, Tim.
Let me just take a little shoddy of this just to...
It's fine.
That's way too smooth.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. There's like a little bit of heat, then there's like a little bit of flavor, and then it all kind of goes away, and then you're...
You drink some more.
Yeah. It does have a tin flavor to it, though. I can't figure out why.
That was the 10 penny nails that you
I gotta stop licking doorknobs, you know?
You keep licking doorknobs.
But it's paint thinner episode 2, Electric Boogaloo, here at the Liquid.
No, you'll be...
You'll be dead. Don't do that.
That's all I'm drinking of this. I'm not drinking any more of it.
So, does anybody like LaQuack? I know I do.
Is that the sparkling water brand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, LaQuack the duck sparkling water. You remember it from the show?
I knew it.
I have. Yeah.
It was a spinoff. It was the first Courage spinoff.
I hate it when my pull is taken from me in such ways.
Why would you do this to me, Taylor?
I hate it when my joke gets removed from me.
Yeah.
I like beverages with a hint of flavor, like they drove past a truck carrying limes.
No, it's... A truck carrying ducks.
What are you getting at, Sheldon?
I'm saying it's quacky. All right. Anyway.
Oh.
Quacky. We kind of discussed before, I think hit and go. We got two totally different slots here, folks. I hope you're ready for a rad time of odd tonal shifts, because boy oh boy,
you'll laugh until you cry, and then you just cry,
and then you laugh some more.
You'll laugh until you cry, and then you cry until you laugh, and then you
crazy
lose your head. We're working through season 4. We got two of them here. LaQuack Balloon.
Is it actually called?
It is called LaQuack Balloon. And Windmill
just,
Vandals.
Just a hint. Maybe a bit of a better name would have.
Episode 3 in season 4.
This thing is such a long plot description.
On the fandom there. It doesn't need it. We're gonna cover it there.
I could cover it in about 30 seconds if I had to.
We won't. We will belabor that fact. In fact, here we go to belabor. I'll start us off. Hey guys, who is your favorite Courage reoccurring villain?
I think I already covered this. It was LaQuack.
Oh, it's LaQuack.
Yeah, he's always been my favorite.
It needs to be cats, though.
No.
It needs to be cats, says the internet.
No.
It's Ledoux.
You're right.
But we have a LaQuack episode, ladies and gentlemen, and it starts off with Courage and Muriel trying to bake some Scottish dream cookies, some good old butter cookies. Four pounds of butter cookies.
It was just butter, right?
It's just butter, baby.
Yeah. Man, so, is that based off a real cookie or is that just a joke?
So, like, have you ever had a shortbread cookie?
Yeah, I suppose I have.
Like, shortbread cookies are essentially just butter. Like, it's really just like a short crust cookie is like, it's just butter. Like, here's just a standard recipe. And I'll just kind of tell you the ingredients.
It suddenly makes sense why that was all my grandma had.
Has a cup of butter, half a cup of sugar, 2 cups of flour, a tablespoon of salt, and a little bit of vanilla extract. It's just butter. Butter's the only binder.
It really is. Holy crap.
Wow, the butter's the only thing in that.
I literally found the same recipe. Yeah. We were looking at the same
So they're great. I love a shortbread cookie. They are
good.
They're okay. Great.
They're a wonderful cookie to have with coffee. They're a wonderful cookie to have with tea. They're just really nice.
They're okay.
And if you have too many of them, boy, oh boy, you're going to be full of butter. But
liquidates your
Jesus. It's a good joke. But we got to get these butter cookies off the ground, these Swedish dream cookies, and then we got old blind man Eustace.
Oh yeah, that really was like a nothing for this
coming to, well, it's, you know what it is? It's an excuse to beat the shit out of Eustace.
Yeah. Deserved.
I don't actually know in this episode,
episode it's very like he's just missing his glasses. If we include all the rest of the universe, definitely, but the problem is This is a very Squidward situation where he didn't do anything this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he comes in and he can't find his glasses, and Muriel's like, "Well, where do you think they are?" And he's like, "I don't know.
Help me find them."
And he's bumping into shit.
He starts laughing like SpongeBob.
And then Muriel goes, "Well, Courage, only you can help him find them.
You gotta be his guide dog, bud."
And he goes, "Okay."
Well, again, the thing is, like, Courage, even in that instance, is like, "I'm not a fucking guide dog, man." Like, it's rare that I can read that on a cartoon character's face. But boy, oh boy, could you read it in the cartoon character's face when he's just like, "Fucking, I guess.
Fine, I'll help
whatever."
The
goodest
Couldn't
boy.
Couldn't we just kill him?
Like, yeah, that's probably what he's thinking.
Well, let's see how the rest of this episode.
If I was blind, you would put me down, wouldn't you, Muriel?
And they go outside, and that's where we see a big, ominous, French, vaguely French music playing balloon appear.
I don't think
sky.
It's even vaguely. I think it's already on the nose.
It's extremely French.
And we have the balloon coming down, Courage being very confused, and enter our villain of the episode.
He's back.
LaQuack with revealing himself by saying, "LaQuack is back."
To be fair, if I had the ability to like have a rhyming name with "is back," I'd use that at every opportunity.
Sheldon is he? No, doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
If I was the guy who was writing this episode, it would have been
Tim is in.
He would have clicked.
Tim is in.
He would have kicked open the door and been like, "LaQuack is back," and then everything would pause, and you would have a fake announcer come on and go, "LaQuack
like
is back, everybody! Vote now on your screen to see whether he should kill the back fail." I don't know.
No. The way it would go is like he'd kick the fucking door, and he'd go, "LaQuack is back." Freeze. Then it'd zoom in on his face. There you go. "LaQuack is back." And then it'd put in fucking like big words behind him. "He's back." And
oh,
title,
yeah.
LaQuack.
Like word art from like early thousands, Microsoft Word. Yeah, LaQuack is back. And you do the Super Smash Brothers screen too.
Oh my god!
Yes.
Yeah, LaQuack gets the red envelope.
LeQuack has entered the fifth.
LeQuack has entered the arena.
Yeah. That's a timely joke for all of the Smash Brothers hype that is no longer around.
Hey man, Ultimate's still around.
Yeah. And that's when we get Courage running back inside, dragging Eustace, trying to convey to Miracle. Balloon.
Hey, LeQuack's back.
But he just does balloon. He doesn't transform.
Oh yeah, he does
into
two different balloons, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does a balloon. He does a blimp.
And then he does the blimp. And
yeah.
And then Muriel just goes, "Oh, I remember.
I remember blimps.
I remember the.
My childhood with the Hindenburg, of course."
And that's she like walks away, and in the meantime, LeQuack does the thing that drives the episode forward, which he switches her Scottish cookbook with a Swedish one, and instead
just
of having
Swedish,
sweet adjacent, and then instead of having the butter cookies with just butter, it's requiring Swedish vinegar.
To be fair, I'm more surprised that her cookies didn't need vinegar in the first
place. Every other meal she's ever cooked has always been talking about vinegar,
and now this one only needs butter, and then suddenly
gotta have that rare Swedish vinegar that's only sold in Sweden.
Yeah, you know.
Which, again, you go, man, it's like fucking 2002. Come on. But
we gotta go to Swedish. We
gotta go to Sweden. And bada bing, bada boom, LeQuack is there with
him. Yeah, this basket only seats two.
Only seats two, and we're going to Sweden because he works for Swedish Hot Air. And that's our driving point forward, is that it's a balloon episode, folks.
Inciting incident.
And bungee jumping.
It's a balloon and bungee.
Would you bungee jump out of a hot air balloon?
I wouldn't bungee jump.
I do once.
You're too afraid because of that story of that poor unfortunate soul that jumped, but she wasn't hooked up.
Yeah. Sure am, bud.
Because the announcer was like telling people to go, and she was so nervous that she thought he was talking to her, and then she jumped before being ready.
Oh God!
Yeah, no,
horror.
Never.
Great.
Never ever.
Just
never,
don't
ever,
jump before
ever.
You're ready, folks.
And so yeah, I would never. Ever,
you'd never
ever,
jump
ever.
Out. You'd never jump out of a hot air balloon.
No.
If you were bungee corded.
No. I wouldn't jump off a bridge if I was bungee corded. I don't want to jump off of anything.
Statistically, it is a bad idea to jump off a bridge for.
I mean, it is increasing. It is increasing your chances of dying.
Yeah.
Even if it's by not 1%.
Yeah. You always just come back up, right? You could hit yourself on the bridge if you had too much momentum.
If you just jump poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So, this is what we end up seeing is LeQuack attaches a safety, quote-unquote, rope to Muriel and then drops the floor out from her. Courage, thus seeing this, immediately has to get Muriel back, and then as she plummets back up from plummeting down into the thing, LeQuack asks if she enjoyed it, and then he also says that, hey, this is the only way to get the vinegar, is the old drop and pluck method.
Yeah.
And she's got to practice, and so she's like, no, I don't think I, and then he just keeps doing it.
Until she eventually starts to get a rush.
Until she gets a rush, and in the meantime, in that rush as it's building, LeQuack gives us his monologue about how they're actually going to rob the great giant Swedish piggy bank.
Which is pretty large. I mean, there's probably a lot of money in there.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it's worth. But...
You know,
$20.
Couple Swedes.
Yeah.
And then this is when we see a bunch of scenes from like New York to Italy to,
I think
to other places.
France. You missed the baguette smashing scene.
In which we see Muriel increasingly enjoying her new life of crime. Because she's just doing crimes at that point.
Yeah.
At this point, she is just stealing for everyone
she's
to
just
air
stealing
quotes
everyone.
Practice.
She's stealing from everybody. She's stealing quarters out of a fountain. She's stealing
baguettes. To be fair, that's public. She's... There's nothing actually against stealing corners from a public fountain.
Croissants and cheese from a man in France, and all the while Eustace is being pulled by Courage and is being fucking flung against everything from cactuses to rocks to, by the time they get to fucking France, he's getting hit by random people with baguettes.
They're just beating the crap out of him.
We've all lost control of a dog on a dog walk.
Control of a dog on a dog walk, and then the entire world has decided to fucking hit you because of it.
I know you're joking, but yeah.
You think they go, look, there's Eustace. Get him.
Sheldon's running down the street in his bathrobe. Oh no.
Yeah.
Get the baguette.
And that's what we see as we watch this fun little, like, scenes of Eustace just getting the ever-loving shit beat
out
of him.
The menagerie of Eustace beatdowns.
And then we end up in Sweden, where we see the American military being called in to
protect their investments,
and they do what the American military does best, which is just friendly fire at each other. Look up Pat Tillman. And
recent history.
And we see, you know, that fun thing. It's the general and the lieutenant from seasons past.
Why is there an FH on the lieutenant's shirt?
For funsies.
You said it right. It's Funhouse.
I said it, but that's not what I think it is.
I don't know. I just want to know. It could actually mean Funhouse in the traditional sense of a funhouse, as in just being stupid.
Maybe. Well, but they're there fighting each other, doing, you know, fun things. And as we, like, watch that, LeQuack convinces Muriel, oh yeah, the vinegar's in the piggy bank.
You gotta get underneath the leaves, though.
Gotta get all them leaves out of there.
Yeah, just bring them up here. Put them in the basket. I love the leaves.
And that is what we see, is her pulling up a bunch of Swedish money back into the basket as LeQuack's. You know how he LeQuacks.
He LeQuacked? Yeah.
Exactly.
He's LeQuacked three other episodes.
And then as she like finally comes up there, she's like, hey, I didn't see any vinegar in there. And he's like, oh no, it's definitely there.
Keep going.
Yeah, keep looking.
This looks like foreign bills. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. And so then he begins to try to cut the rope.
To be fair, did Courage have to be here for this adventure?
To save her, he did.
But
because he...
Wasn't LeQuack's plan, like, basically flawed from the start?
Here's the big thing, right? The Americans don't notice any of this happening until LeQuack tries to cut Muriel out.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
That's the thing. If he just left with Muriel, it'll be fine, but he tries to cut Muriel out for some reason.
And he does that, and that's when they see him and they start aiming the big old cannons up, and we load Eustace into a cannon.
I just realized they load Eustace into a cannon and he makes it all the way back to nowhere.
Yeah, he does, yeah. And he finds, yep.
And that's how the balloon pops, is because Eustace is fired at the balloon, popping it, and that causes the balloon to begin to come down, and then Courage fires himself, which then allows him to grab Muriel out of the air, and they land into a Swedish yummy shop, I believe is what it was called.
Yes.
And they find the Swedish vinegar, and LeQuack gets LeClapped.
The fucking U.S. military gets him.
Yeah.
We always get our guy.
We always get our man.
Even when it costs us.
Even when we don't get him, we get our man.
Yeah, everything is just burned up.
Destroyed.
And they're like, we did it, everybody. Mission accomplished.
This was around, what year is it, 2002?
2002.
Bush got inspiration from this.
Yep. And
then cookies for everyone.
And then Muriel in the shop.
I think it literally ends right when they go home though. I don't think cookies are made. I think it ends.
It ends with Eustace finding his glasses in the sink, sorry, in the toilet, and then it
can't see shit.
And then it ends with and then it ends with Muriel essentially saying, "Let's go home and make cookies." And that's then he puts end.
On aviators. Yeah, I remember now.
And then he puts on aviators.
And the actual the aviator Who's. Helmet, not the aviator. Yeah.
The Who, Baba O'Reilly plays in the background.
Yeah. Stupid.
And then we go to headless people.
No. First, we go to trivia.
No.
Yes, we do.
So, do you guys mind if I jump to trivia before we do our little...
Yeah, that's fine. Do your trivia.
So, the fandom page for this episode is very weird. And I will read the trivia here in a moment. There's also a couple quotes on it. Of course, the most notable quote is LeQuack. LeQuack is back. And then Courage, you gotta fly, baby, fly, which is how he literally ended the episode right there. And who could forget the Frenchman saying, stupid American.
Stupid American.
And then, of course, Eustace's quote, right where I thought they were, as he finds his glasses. I don't know why these quotes are in here. There are not quotes in for every episode. But there are quotes in for this episode.
People love LeQuack.
People do love LeQuack. So I'm going to read our trivia next. And I'm going to start with the second trivia fact first. Because I know Taylor's also looking at these.
I have purposely pulled off of it. So you have free reign.
Then this will have maximum effect. So we're going to read the trivia fact number two. This fact goes, Courage and Eustace would have no way of reaching Paris from New York just by walking, and LeQuack's hot air balloon would not get to France.
You go. I'm gonna lose it if I keep going.
Although it makes sense when Courage and Eustace enter the cruise ship to Paris.
Okay, never mind.
I really enjoyed. I could feel the fucking fervor growing. Oh,
this gets a lot worse.
I was gonna fucking lose it because I'm like, but he literally has a scene where he gets on a boat.
Yep. So there is also a comment that contributes to this next trivia fact, and this is the last trivia fact.
Please.
All right, this trivia fact goes, the engine on the train is a 220 engine, or an American Planet-type steam locomotive, which was only built during the Pioneer Railroad days circa 1830. Locomotives of this wheel arrangement were used most common on American railroads during the 1800s and 1830s, and were given the name American because of all the work they did on every railroad until 1928. These types of engines have four wheels, two leading wheels, two drive wheels, and no trailing wheels. The comment that goes with this just says, where's the 220?
Taylor, they're pretty far up there, huh?
That is...
There is no train in this episode.
There's not a train.
That is legitimately a trivia fact that is on fandom that is either put in the wrong place, although being very factual. I don't know if there's a train in the majority of any episode.
Did you write this? Did you just do this to upset me?
Do I know?
I like the idea of Tim being able to, like,
there's go never through... been a trivia section. It's just me before we start filming.
Yeah.
And I just go in and make my own trivia section.
That is... I mean,
we've joked about it, so it's on the table.
I mean, just
that'd be outrageous if it was happening, but it'd be a really cool premise. Anyways, that is all trivia, quotes, and whatever else bullshit fandom has for this part of the episode.
That is, I'm scrubbing through it right now.
There is not a train. There's not a train in the A or the B part of this episode, and there's not a train so far in this season.
Well, there's only two episodes this season.
Exactly. I stand by what I said.
Honestly,
No train. I don't know why they did that. Why would you do that, person?
Because he really wants to talk about trains.
He really likes trains.
That was just one person being like, I only got one shot.
I gotta tell somebody about trains.
I gotta tell somebody about trains.
He found
the
wrong episode about trains.
Oh my gosh.
That is...
Hey, train guy, we understand.
I get it, train guy, I do. Wrong venue, though. Could you, like, go somewhere where there's a train adjacent to the story?
DM me at.
Yeah. You got a lot of
knowledge on trains.
I wanna
hear about trains.
Yeah.
That is...
It's so specific, too. Like, it has dates. It has fucking, like...
If you're going to talk about trains, you need dates.
Well, I mean, and people who talk about trains will always have the dates.
They'll
it's
kind of
like
them,
people.
Yeah. There's a very specific set of individuals that, that will cover... trains, and you will never be able to not talk about them. But that is crazy.
Yeah,
I really like that. That's there.
I was reading that while you guys were talking about the episode. I'm just like, I can't hold my excitement.
I have to talk about this.
This has to be a section.
We gotta go over it. That's fucking crazy.
Just weird. It's just somebody just, you know, maybe...
Just talking about their love, man.
And they were just on, like... And maybe that was put here for a different reason. Maybe somebody was just putting it there to fuck with this fandom to see if it's actually moderated.
It's just an inside joke.
It probably is at this point.
Yeah, by future Taylor Sheldon and Tim...
Yeah.
After we're done watching this, the whole
that is
series
that is nutso, man. Wowzers, Bowsers! I like that a lot. That's funny. LaQuack is back, baby.
And you know what? It was a pretty good episode.
It was. I'm gonna give it 4 LaQuacks are backs out of 5.
Oh, nice.
You took mine, so. Mm.
I'm what we call a claim jumper, Sheldon.
Mm. Right, Bailey.
She's really excited about the episode, too.
She loved it.
She loves trains. I will give this... I will give this 4 Swedish cookbooks out of 5.
Mm. Oh, Swedish.
Yeah, they're just sweet-ish. They're not actually Swedish, you know.
Yeah,
they're not sweetest either.
No, that'd be a racist against Swedes.
They're racist,
or would
yeah.
that be someone? Was that someone who is like believes in the superiority of Swedes?
A very small group now, I can tell you that.
Yeah,
not many of those guys exist anymore for some reason.
Anyway, Sheldon,
my number's not going to be unique, but I'm going to go with 4 out of 5 shit spectacles.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is it's a lot of shit spectacles.
Eustace's glasses.
I don't understand why they were in the toilet.
You know, let me. So, who wears glasses?
You've never taken a shit? I do.
I do as well. Taylor, do you wear glasses?
No, he's not a nerd.
Perfect vision, baby.
Well, then let me tell you, sometimes when you go and
take
a shit...
Can't wait for 10 years down the line where that's not going to be the truth
anymore. Yeah,
yeah. It doesn't matter, blindo.
Blindo?
Blindo? Yeah. You could have come up with so much better, and you came up with Blindo.
Yeah, I purposely went with it.
I mean, Blindo? Not all of us are born creative, but...
You know, Taylor takes the cake, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Ma, did you hear that? Blindo!
Anyway, it was a good episode.
Anyway...
And now let's move on to
fucking almost Eldritch horror.
If you're wondering why we're not at like top spirits right now, it's because the B part of this episode is a completely different experience than the A
Imagine
part.
Imagine having a machine in your house that must be going at all times or else the end is near.
It is.
Iron lungs are out of date now, but...
It is wacky that, like, the tonal shift of this episode.
We gonna rob a bank? You're all gonna die.
That's
get
it
to
is,
work.
It is the most fucking fast shift I think I've seen in an A to a B episode of just, like... And this one is fucking spooky as shit. So the B episode on this is Windmill Vandals. And it is...
Eustace is fixing his windmill, which has always been running.
It's never not been running, apparently.
Never, ever.
So it opens in a horror fashion with a red moon and a red sky and spooky music playing.
And everybody's just like, oh, fuck, I'm kind of on edge.
Well, yeah, and everyone's doing their thing, right? Like, Eustace is watching TV, Muriel's welding.
Yeah.
And
she
was welding, like, a big fucking statue of courage.
Right, okay, yes. I honestly forgot, and I was like...
Which is something you would normally see Muriel doing.
It was a big statue, it was a big metal courage with nipples.
Yeah, and he's buff, yeah. It wasn't just courage of nipples, he was...
Nope, that's what it was. And we saw the windmill begin to break. The lights start flickering. Muriel is mad and tells Eustace to fix it. And he's like, okay. And
I mean, I guess we need to fix it. It does pump our water.
He goes up and provides the power in this. And goes up and he bangs on it with a hammer and like other tools and like it gets the nose cap falls off and nearly fucking murks courage just off the bat. But then doesn't, so there's that. And then we have like a cavalcade of silliness of like, well, courage, bring up the crescent wrench. And so he climbs up and they like try to get it going and the power like kind of flickers on and off. And as Courage is up there, he notices like a black ominous cloud with ominous music playing, creeping towards them. And he's like,
that's bad.
That
seems spooky. And then the windmill goes again. The cloud disappears and it's like, oh, and Courage has to hold this wrench in place to keep it going. And in true, you know, Courage and Eustace fashion, it's a bad plan. And
hold
Courage,
this here. It'll keep going.
Stay here Courage forever.
Can't do it. His arms got tired. He's got whittle arms.
I mean,
he got the little
arms. Whittle arms don't
whittle
go
arms.
Far.
And he lets it go, and when that happens, the black cloud comes back, and he sees four skeletal figures.
The riders of the apocalypse.
Riding horses and wearing Viking armor and having weapons, and that fucking freaks him out. And so he tries to fix it, and he uses the wrench, and he gets it started again, and they vanish.
This happens like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, and I'm gonna kind of skip there because it happens a bunch, and eventually he falls several times, and we start seeing these skeletal figures trying to murk courage.
Vandals.
they are in an art style that I would say is spooky.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's not as bad as the King Ramses shift, like 3D.
Well, that was just weird CGI.
That was weird, yeah. And in retrospect, less spooky. This is ominous. Like, this gives a feeling of ominous.
Yeah. It makes you go, oh, courage is in it now.
You're like, wow, that's a real spooky thing that's happening.
Those things exist in this world? Holy shit.
Why? And why do they exist in this world?
He essentially has to fight off these skeletal riders for a little bit. You know what they remind me of? They remind me of when you're watching Scooby-Doo Zombie Island, the good one, not the new one. And you, do you remember when, like, the zombies, like, first show up in that movie? There, it's a fucking spooky scene, man.
Yes, it's... It's
you
really
mean
horror,
when it's
yeah.
when it's terror yeah. time again?
When it's terror time again.
And we're running through the night?
Yes!
Running through the night.
It's so, like, actually kind of scary. And that's what I get from this. I get that same vibe of, like, that's spooky. Do not like. No thank you, boss. And this is, you know, what happens, and he throws the tools at him. And nothing eventually else. He crawls up and he, like, gets it working again by, like, sheer dumb luck. And he...
You crank enough bolts and twist enough knobs, you get things yeah. working.
He scrapes some paint off the back of it, and there's, like, these runes that appear. And the skeletons disappear. Eustace comes out, and he's like, what are you doing? And he goes up to, like, fix it again. And Courage takes pictures of those runes to bring inside to the computer.
Computer.
And when he does that, he ends up getting the computer to, like, tell him that 250 years ago, the first owner of the land, Jules Gallet, built a windmill, and during that time everybody else was using water to run their stuff, and a group of vandals, as in, like, the people vandals, which
not
is where
band.
We get the that's the idea where we get the idea of the word vandalism, by the way, is because the vandals would just beat the shit out of Rome. And that was, yeah, it's fun.
So there'd be a reference towards the band, the Vandals. You know, the hit punk band from the 90s.
Yeah. Nah, the Germanic people of southern Poland known as the Vandals.
The Vandals.
They were just they were a scourge in, like, the 3rd century BC, but they were, like, they're notably written about in, like, Roman mythology or, like, historiography and stuff.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, they're this group of, like, marauding individuals, and these vandals were so mad at Giles Gallet that they promised to destroy anyone who held on to
how
that
dare
windmill.
Somebody have a windmill,
and those runes were keeping them at bay, but they would come from beyond the grave to seek vengeance. We have a fog situation here. We've got ghost pirates.
Ghost Vikings.
And as that happens,
so stupid.
As the computer's fine. Telling him, and he's like, at least it's all fake, and then the power goes out. Mm-hmm. And Eustace and Muriel are beset by vandals. And that's
and
when
then,
shit got real.
And then decapitations. You know?
Yeah. Anyways, this is the last episode of Courage, by the way. I don't know if you guys know this. They
this
all die.
We've all played The Quarry.
We hear Courage, or we hear this squishy head chop noise, and we cut back to just seeing Eustace's headless body dancing around after Muriel and Courage scream, and the vandals riding off with Eustace's head.
Yes.
And that was when we were like, this is a fucking tone!
This should have been and then that, in the first season.
And then that tone's gonna get abandoned in about 10 seconds when eventually the vandals get
everyone's
head chopping and
yeah, no one's got a head.
Yeah, and we end
Let's
up
trade
with...
them. Fucking Pokemon.
Yeah. We get everyone's head getting chopped off as a headless Eustace destroys the windmill with a hammer, causing it to collapse. They reappear. They chop Muriel's head off. They chop Courage's head off. And then we just have literally... then it becomes Goofy.
We have Curiel. We have Urge.
Oh.
And then we have Eustace.
Oh, yep. God. He's... Oh, God. I hate all
He's right.
You are right. No one can ever say Sheldon's wrong. I don't ever think Sheldon's wrong.
I can.
No.
And that's when we have the funny mix-em-ups games. And we've got individuals like, you know, swapping heads and...
Don't say it like that.
Swapping heads. And trying to fix the windmill while dodging swipes from the vandals. And that's what we get.
And that's about it. And then they use Eustace to destroy the vandals.
Eustace's head is a bowling ball,
yeah.
Baby.
Honestly, it probably would work the best, except for that chin.
Mm-hmm.
Can I point out that so they use Eustace's head as a bowling ball to like knock down the vandals. Then immediately afterwards, all three of them get together, Muriel, Eustace, and Courage, to switch heads.
Well, yeah, because, Tim, I don't care how close we are, I want my head, not yours.
I agree.
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions, though, when all three of them take off the head at the same time and throw it to the correct body. But I'm not going to ask this because I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
No, well, Tim, not yet. You know, the doctorate's still in the mail.
You know what? I can marry people, though. I am ordained.
That's a different thing entirely.
Is it? Oh, I don't know. I always look to my priest for medical information.
You're going to have to ask my doctor to get married next time.
Yeah, when I go to the confessional.
Yeah, Sheldon, yeah.
This looks
exactly. You seem to have a problem with your liver. Can I get married?
Yeah.
Well, that depends on if you take care of your liver, I suppose. Yeah, but
what does God think about that?
Yeah. Would you officiate my wedding, Dr. Michaels?
And that's what we get. We end up with.
This
cavalcade of silliness at the end, which ruined the tone for me.
And then they fix the windmill.
Yeah, they build the windmill up.
And the vandals go away.
I will say the ending is very kind of abrupt. It's just like, and they built the windmill, and they're gone.
Everything's fine.
Everything's good.
Yeah.
And we're all in a pile of our own body and head.
Yeah.
It's true, that does happen, yeah.
It is an episode that I was like, man, shit is amazing and cool and like,
and what is
super
happening?
Spooky. And then,
you had so much.
It had a lot of potential, but it just didn't really get there.
Didn't follow through. Yeah, probably.
But you know what is there?
Tim, I swear to God,
it's
you
trivia.
All know what time it is.
Don't worry, all these trivia facts actually are trivia for this
episode.
Don't
say good.
I didn't say good. I did not say that. Start from the top to the bottom. Trivia. This is one of the few episodes where both Eustace and Muriel were fully aware of the threat / antagonist and worked together with Courage to defeat it. That's true. Because they do notice,
yep,
and Muriel
sure
does
is.
Realize what the problem is that the windmill is no longer working. This is one of the few episodes in which Eustace was successfully able to contribute to the antagonist's defeat. Without him, the windmill would never have been fixed, and the windmill vandals would have never been defeated.
Yep.
I don't know about that one, but...
I mean, yeah, probably, but Courage has been shown to be adaptable.
Let's see. Courage helped them build that windmill at the end, so, I mean...
Yeah, but Eustace did the most.
Yeah. And again, it comes down to anyone out there. Fun theory that this is all taking place in Courage's head. Now, this is an episode that completely shows you that is not the fact, bud. They are real problems, man.
Yeah, in fact, the only reason Muriel realizes that the windmill is like part of the solution is Courage is on top of the windmill making it spin and then stops, and the vandals come back, and then he goes makes it start up again, and she goes, "Oh, it's the fucking windmill." Like,
yeah.
So there's a lot in here that's not like that's breaking that weird thought. Moving on, the background on the TV where Eustace is watching the gladiators fight, which is the very beginning of the episode, uses the one from the episode from Courage versus Mecha Courage.
Oh God!
There you go.
The vandals only seem to attack the bags when they are living at the farmhouse. When are they not ever living at the farmhouse?
You know, when the bags move.
There was that one episode where Muriel just, they weren't sure her mind was there, so they.
I guess so, but it's never implied that the windmill stops at those episodes. Like, this is.
The windmill's never stopped.
The windmill's never stopped before.
The windmill has never stopped, period, even though there were probably some.
There are probably episodes where the windmill isn't moving, it's never stopped.
I mean, the majority of them. It actually shows that the majority, it's barely moving, if ever. But it is moving. The last one. The Vandals are based on ancient Germanic tribe of people who were responsible for invading and sacking ancient Rome. I mean, it wasn't just the Vandals, but yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. I mean, it could also be based off the Mongols who rode horses and destroyed people.
I think it should be based off...
It could be based off of any Raiders, like, type, really.
The punk band, it should be based off of them. I mean, they did a lot of vandalism. Just saying. I will force that into this episode. You won't stop me. That's it for trivia. And there's nothing else. There's no comments. There's no quotes. There's nothing.
Good.
I'm mad at the tone. I liked the tone of this one a lot. I think this one was very, very interesting and very fun. I'm kind of sad it got goofy at the end.
Yeah, you would have preferred it to be, let's murder some more people.
Well, no, I just feel like, obviously you can't be fully terribly spooky the whole time. Yeah, it's a cartoon. But
Goliath, Gargoyles is also a cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Cartoons could get away with a lot.
Yeah. I can. Yeah.
It was okay.
I can.
Part A was honestly better, in my opinion.
I agree, although I like the idea that they could still do a terrifying episode in season 4, but
oh yeah, it's coming. Don't worry.
Yeah, so they are
it coming,
building up to something potentially.
More than likely, they had to end on a strong note, right?
They had to end on a strong note,
right?
Right.
Enjoy 3.5 runes out of 5.
Runes. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Spooky ass runes out of 5.
Spooky ass runes.
Would you like to go next, Shield?
Nah, you can go next. I don't have anything.
Okay. I will give this also 3.5 Curials out of 5.
Wow.
Courage Mario hybrid,
Honestly, I didn't like this episode as much. It's pretty average. It's all rated a 3 out of 5, 7-10 splits. Out of Germanic, Slavic, or Mongolian raiders. out of 5.
Right down the middle, some would say.
So right down the middle.
Nice.
What's your guys' favorite train? Is it the 220 or?
Why, bullet. Yeah. Bullet train.
The bullet train.
Bullet train.
It just makes it so much easier.
This is Sheldon talking to somebody who's a big train enthusiast, and they just won't stop talking. So he goes, but what's your favorite train, Sheldon?
No, that's, you'll know that's me when I'm just like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Neat.
Bullet train.
But Sheldon, you talk to me like that all the time.
Oh, no.
And then you're on your third, uh-huh, and they just keep going.
It is, I don't know, man. I'm still fucking baffled by the train guy.
I'm
baffled by the train guy.
Random trivia on a random episode of Courage.
I appreciate you, train guy. I want you to know that. Guy, but,
I hope you're in a better place.
I hope you
found your train other, and I hope that
I hope you found your caboose.
Fuck you, that was good.
That was a good one. I like that one a lot, actually. The next one, we'll be back. We'll be doing the Uncommon Cold. Farmer Hunted.
Oh, yes. Good episodes. Okay. Come
all right.
So that's what we got. We got next month for you, babies.
Woo. Don't say next month.
Season 4.
Next month.
We're almost there.
Woo.
Got a year left.
Sure do. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.